Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on the Odyssey app. It is 5:09, 47 degrees on this Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. So the president just spoke and signed his executive order on these reciprocal tariffs. And basically, our reciprocal tariffs are going to be half of what most nations charge us. And I put the list on my social media. It's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pages long for different nations. It was the chart that he was talking about. There's a lot of people panicking, though. There's a lot of people panicking, and I don't know if they're panicking just because it's Donald Trump, or I don't know if they're panicking because they're truly scared. But I'm getting it from different. I'm getting text messages. I'm getting comments that people don't understand this. They don't know what's going on. You have to realize that this happened in 2017, very similar tariffs. They didn't last very long because other nations couldn't deal with it. So they backed off and we backed off. But this already happened. And between 2017 and the time COVID hit was a very flourishing time for America. And then COVID hit and it ruined everything. I think we can all agree on that. That by no fault of anyone. But this has already happened. We've already been through this, and they say it was extremely successful in 2017 when it was instituted. It did what it was supposed to do, and let's give it a chance. Let's give it some time. I mean, people that don't understand, listen, nothing changed for you from yesterday to today, right now. And you could say, well, the speculative market, is going crazy, and this economist says that, and this economist says that. They want your attention. They want to get clicks. They want you to click on their site. They want to get that commercial link for you. That's the way that works. You know, they're working this up. Nothing changed for you. Nothing costs more right now than it did yesterday. So first of all, if you're panicking, slow down, relax. And again, so I put into AI. Because AI has become a pretty useful tool today. And in short notice like this is, you know, I want to ease some of the panic out there. And again, if it's because of politics, listen, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And it's just, listen, go down your road and deal with whatever you need to deal with. If you want to hyperventilate over something that didn't change a damn thing from yesterday to today simply because people are panicking you, then I don't know what to tell you. But take a deep breath and let's go through this together. So I asked AI, how will tariffs affect the average American? And here's the answer that artificial intelligence gave me. Tariffs can have a mixed bag of effects on the average American depending on how they're implemented, what goods they target, and how businesses and markets respond. Let's break it down. On one hand, tariffs, taxes on imported goods can raise the price of stuff you buy. Think electronics, clothes, or even car parts if they're coming from overseas. Companies hit with tariffs might pass those costs on to consumers, but only to the extent that consumers are willing to pay, meaning your wallet takes a hit at the store. For example, if tariffs jack up the cost of imported steel, manufacturers using that steel, like automakers, might charge more for cars. Studies from past tariffs, like those on Chinese goods in 2018 and 2019, suggest prices for affected items rose by only about 1 to 2% on average. So you're hearing 25% tariff, 30% tariff. The price of this is going to go up $10,000 for this vehicle. Well, this already happened on Chinese goods in 2018 and 2019. And it only rose prices 1 to 2% on average because the market determines what the price is. Americans will only pay so much for a product, so they can't pass on the full amount to you. They'll try, but they can't, and they know it. According to estimates from groups like the National Bureau of Economic Research, it's not apocalyptic, but it's noticeable if you're on a tight budget. So, of course, if you're on a tight budget, any raise and increase is going to affect you. Now, on the flip side, tariffs can aim to protect American jobs. If foreign goods get pricier, companies might shift production back home, boost employment in industries like manufacturing, The idea is that if, say, a tariff makes imported furniture costlier, a factory in Ohio might hire more workers to meet the demand for American-made desks. Historically, this effect is patchy. Some jobs get saved or created, but automation and global supply chains often limit the gains. Plus, other countries might slap tariffs back on U.S. exports, hurting farmers and aerospace workers, for instance. Your everyday experience? Higher prices on some things, maybe an extra $50 on a new TV or $5 on a pair of shoes, balanced against the chance of more local jobs, though not guaranteed, it's a trade-off. Short-term cost hikes for potential long-term economic shifts that benefit the American worker and the American consumer. The catch is businesses don't always play along. They might just eat the tariff cost and find cheaper imports elsewhere, diluting the impact. So that's it basically broken down to a nutshell. So unless you're buying a new car, unless you're making a steel building or building a steel shed in your backyard, unless you're a clothing merchant that's buying mass accounts or somebody who makes T-shirts and you're importing your T-shirts, the thing is, well, maybe you buy American-made T-shirts and you'll have to pay a dollar more. Listen, I understand this because I had American-made T-shirts for the T-shirts that I had made. And I paid a dollar more a shirt because they were American-made T-shirts. So that's the trade-off that people are going to have to make. I have a friend who owns a graphics company that makes T-shirts, makes hats, does embroidery. His phone has been off the hook the past few weeks because companies who have already had their printing done in Taiwan, done in the Philippines, done in all these other places, are bringing it back because it needs to be done here. So it's working if you talk to the business leaders out there. Now, will there be a short-term issue with vehicles? Will there be a short-term issue with possibly getting parts for repairs? Or if you're in a body shop working there? There will be. Give it time to play out. Give it time to work. If the American people aren't standing united with this, other nations who have been taking advantages by these tariffs simply look at the numbers. We'll just say we need to hold out the American people. It goes back to the same theory that other countries look at us when it comes to war. Other nations, Russia, China, when it was Vietnam, when any of these nations knew that the second American men and women were coming home in body bags, the American public did not have the stomach. And that's all they needed to do is hold out for that. And in Vietnam, it turned out to be the case. It's the same thing when it comes here. You'll have these nations saying the American people aren't behind this. This isn't something, this isn't our grandparents or our parents' day where it was made in America. That's the big, everybody get behind that. It was a proud sticker on your car. It was a proud label on your pants or your TV or your washing machine. It was something to be proud of. Everybody wants cheap TVs now. Everybody wants a cheaper iPhone. Everybody wants, you know, that vehicle that doesn't cost too much that's made somewhere else. It's amazing that more foreign cars in America, like a Tesla, like a Nissan, is more American made than our Fords, GMCs, and Jeeps, Dodges. We have to demand that change. We have to stand behind that change. But again, deep breath. There's no panic. Nothing changed from yesterday to today. Will there be some wavy times? Sure, there will. Will the markets react like they do to any uncertainty? Yes, they will. Will it be okay? It sure will. It sure will. So that's the stance on that. We could talk about it more. You can call Aaron or text 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone now. We have Elle from Wayne County on tariffs. Elle.
Hi. I think this is so ridiculous. They are just trying to put the side of fear into every United States person. These Democrats and the media need to wise up and stop lying. I mean, you know, they've been complaining about these tariffs going into effect until today. They've been complaining every single day that he was going to do this again. It's no secret. He told all along that he was going to get the tariffs back in in order to do what he needs to do so his plan can take place. And granted, you're going to pay probably a little bit more, but don't worry about it.
Maybe.
M-A-Y-B-E, a very important word like if. Now, they just said on TV that they sold 87,000 cars just recently of Hyundai. Now, hey, that's 87,000 people that won't have to worry about buying a new car. That's the way I look at it. Now, that is if you want to buy a new car. I recently drove a 25, and I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take that car if they gave it to me for free. Because it's got too much on that car. Things that you're not even going to be able to order a special order car the way you want it now. You're going to get all these other stupid features that are on that car. And I'll tell you what, I didn't even know that the features were on that car. I started driving and I was like, what? You know, every couple miles, there was another beeper going off for some reason. Either a car is coming up on one side of you or this or that or the other. You know, like most of the features that were on this car don't even need to be on there. And that's why the price of cars have gone out of skyrocketed pricing. So, you know, they can say all they want to say. You know, I wouldn't buy a brand new car if you gave it to me. I wouldn't take it because I wouldn't want that car. And that's the bottom line. Don't worry about it.
Model T's for L. We'll get you one.
I almost bought one in the 80s.
All right. Elle, we're going to have to leave it there. I got some text messages okay. I got to get to before
right.
I go to break.
Thank you. Now, do you get that? How do you get that tariff list? How do you pull that up in the computer?
Well, it's on my social media. The White House put it out, so you can probably go to the White House website and get it.
White House, just White House web?
Whitehouse.gov.
Whitehouse.gov. Okay, thanks a lot.
All
keep
right.
up the great job.
No problem. So I get a text message, and again, listen to the people in the industries. Listen to the people in the know. Talk to business owners to see, you know, are they getting more calls to bring businesses back here? Here, I work in the steel industry here in West Wyoming as a machinist. When Trump did the steel and aluminum tariffs in his first term, we got busy as hell and unlimited overtime for months. Yes. Yes. And as you're making all that overtime, here's an individual. Here's the sheet workers and the metal workers and the iron workers themselves. While they're making all that overtime, they are paying extra payroll taxes. They are paying extra taxes into Medicare. They are paying extra taxes into Social Security because they're making all that overtime, because their job demand is up. They're going to hire more people. They're going to expand. That's the benefit here. That's the benefit here. And it's interesting, you know, listen, if you can't afford a new car, it's simply don't buy one. Hold out yours. If you can't afford the new TV, well, you don't really need one, do you? Your family, your priorities come first. None of this is going to affect that. None of it. And it was successful already. So, again, call in, text in. Let's work through it. I don't want people afraid, and I don't care what your political affiliation is. There's no reason to panic or get scared over this. We've been through it before. There's already been this tariffs. And again, I have steel workers, steel people in the steel industry calling saying it was a huge boom for their industry. It was a huge boom for them, which you know what is a huge boom for us. Because as these companies are growing, as they're working more hours, as they're expanding, as they're getting paid overtime, they're also paying taxes on that overtime, which benefits us all. Because everything government does is paid for by taxes. So it's a good thing. It's 5:23 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Got another union sheet metal worker here. We were booming under Trump's first term. Joe from Trips Park said car prices have skyrocketed because of the carbon and emissions taxes automakers have to pay. Car manufacturers spend billions in carbon credits that costs get passed down to the consumer. Once Trump does away with that, the policies will fall. Prices will fall tremendously. See, that's a good point there. No one complained and argued on the other side when all these emissions and eco-friendly and carbon taxes and all everything was put on these automakers to raise the price. you know, that was okay then. But charge other nations a reciprocal tax and everyone's up in arms screaming and yelling. So great point from our friend Joe in Trips Park there. And it's always great to hear from the Union sheet metal workers and our iron workers and everybody out there. We got Rich from Laughlin on Trump and tariffs. Rich.
Thanks for taking the call, Rob. Rob, I can't believe it, how well planned this was. There will be some bumps, okay? As long as the train's moving slow enough, you can get the train up quick. That's how I look at it. But there's something that I've been pondering for a while. It's not directly related to this, but it will affect it. Where are we going to get the American workers to do these jobs? Right now, the Air Force is in deep doo-doo. The Navy is second in deep doo-doo, okay? They can't get people. And I think a lot of kids are available that could go into the service and won't. Are we looking at an Israeli-type draft? I suspect we're going to get workers that are educated in England and other places, highly educated people, to do some of these jobs.
Well, let me just stop you there real quick, Rich. Make no mistake, if we get into a major world war conflict, there will be a draft. There will need to be a draft. There will have to be one. There's no mistake in that. If we get into a major conflict with China, armed conflict, or Russia, or anyone on a major scale, like those nations, make no mistake, there will indeed be a draft.
You know, this is like, I think, when our fathers came home from World War II and you know, there was a lot of lovemaking, and GE put up refrigerator plants everywhere, furniture plants. They couldn't keep up. You couldn't get a bed. You couldn't get refrigeration when they came home from World War II. And I think what's going to happen, we're going to get something like that in a few years if all of Trump's planning comes true. But
I agree, we remember those times. Listen, would you spend $100 more, $150 more for a washing machine that was going to last you 25 years rather than one today that you get for $150 cheaper, but it was only going to last you 8 or 9 years? Because that's what I have an American-made washing machine, and their manufacturer representative, when they dropped it off, said, these are not like the ones we're taking away. This one here is only made to last 8 to 9 years.
I agree with you there, Rob. But we have 2.2 children being born now. During after World War II, it was 4.3, I think it was. The books vary a little, and I'm going by memory. But that's significant. That's why you don't see anybody working in the pools. You don't see them cleaning fire departments. I could name three ambulance companies that closed their doors. And the woman said, now that we're in the time of no volunteerism, we have to close. And it's saddening me, but if all these jobs are going to come to fruition, you got to say, who's going to take care of the services? The Navy and the Air Force, they need smart people, more or less. I mean, not everyone is working on a computer or something, but the tasks that are going to have to be done. And I'm not making little of the Army or the Marines. By the way, the Marines met all their audits and have come out in the green.
And so, met their recruiting goals.
Yeah, they're the only one. But the two highest technical service units are begging for people. I mean, they're hurting, Rob. I mean, a Navy ship has to have the complement there. You can't say, Joe, I'll run down to the other end and we'll hit the switch, you know? And this has been, I've been thinking about this, and the only thing I could say is we're going to probably bring not people from Mexico, with all due respect, because you need highly educated people. It'll probably be from Europe to meet some of these goals, you know, Rob? And let's see what happens. But I like what Trump is doing. I didn't know that some countries were ripping us off so bad till he started talking about the data. And I appreciate your interpretation, too, of what you did. And calming the people is an excellent thing that you're also doing, Rob. I'm not buttering up, but I think the examples you gave should set people at ease, because this is going to take a while to do. This isn't overnight, you know. There's no
and it's going to take time to see an increase of these prices. They're not going to happen automatically. And you'll have unscrupulous people out there that are trying to make a buck. We see it during natural disasters. We see it during hurricanes. We see it during snowstorms where, you know, you get that little mom-and-pop shop or somewhere that tries to jack up the prices on people. But for the most part, nothing changed today that was the same yesterday. And it's going to take a few weeks for any of these tariffs to kick in. And between now and then, Let the process work. Let's see the negotiations happen. Let's see the mutual understanding to where it's, hey, this is not good for both of us. Let's fix this. And that levels the playing field for where we're getting screwed right now. So let's force that fix.
Thank you, Rob. The very best to you and your family.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you. It's 5:33 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. As we start to wind things down, it's 5:38 here, 45 degrees on this Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. Deep breaths. We'll all get through it. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. So I watched the Scranton School Board work session this week because there was a thing on the agenda that caught my attention, and I talked about it, and you know the other media picked it up and finally did a story on it, but just basically said it was happening. No questions as to why, but a Scranton School Board director has resigned. And that'll be officially accepted at their school board meeting, but it was on the agenda for their work session. So that's what grabbed my attention. I wanted to see if there was any discussion on that. But there was none, basically just saying that that was on the agenda, and it happened. And I believe there's no comment, and the school board, the school district's official comment is basically that the school district board member basically simply resigned. There's usually a reason for that. And I've been contacted by a lot of people that are giving reasons and as to why. But until it's from official sources and such, you know, I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to get into it. But the valid question is, why would someone – she wasn't running for re-election, but why would a member of the school board simply resign for no apparent reason when there's only a few months left of their term? It raises questions, and I have those questions, and a lot of people have those questions. So I'm watching this Scranton School Board work session, and there was a point in time where the superintendent was talking about she was going to be in Washington, and she was going to meet with Congressman Bresnahan and Senator Fetterman while she's down there. Now, why she wouldn't meet with Senator McCormick, maybe he wasn't available. Maybe he wasn't available to be scheduled. It's interesting to say she only said the two, but that's a good thing. Listen, every time our superintendents or our school officials can meet with our elected officials, one of the school board members, Robert Casey, and again, name recognition, he's not related directly. I mean, he might be indirectly related, but has the same name recognition. It's probably helped him a lot through his career. Chimes in during this discussion with a totally off-topic thing, but here's a member of the Scranton School District School Board who doesn't even really know who our elected officials are or what positions they actually hold or who they even – what their actual names are. That's what caught my attention more than anything. Here's someone who's in charge of the students of Scranton's education, and he's calling – Representative Fetterman, not Senator Fetterman, and he goes on this thing about, I would like to offer them our school facilities free of charge so they could do a town hall meeting. And I don't think he's worked this through, and I'm sure it's just your typical Democrat dig at the talking points that they've all been given. Now, I believe Robert Casey was also one of the three people that were given to the judges to be a commissioner for Lackawanna County. You need to listen, and he starts off real low because they didn't have his microphone on fully, and then he turns up a little bit. Jay, can you play that audio?
I would like you to know from the federal level, as part of the ELPC fellowship, which I've talked about numerous times, I will be in Washington, D.C. next week and will be meeting on the federal level with Senator Fetterman and Representative Bresnahan, so I will continue to advocate there that this money cannot disappear for the district.
Okay, wonderful. And you'll update us, I'm assuming.
And I will absolutely positively update everyone.
Okay. Any?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You know, you mentioned Congressman Bresnahan and Congressman Fetterman, and I believe the other guy is McCormick. Could we offer, as a board, free of charge for any one of the three to have a town hall meeting so that we can actually meet them and ask questions of them, and have the public come and ask questions on the education budget?
I believe their offices set up town halls. I believe there was a town hall, a virtual town hall for one of them last week.
There was, yeah.
Representative Bresnahan had that.
I believe so.
But I will...
All I'm saying is that we offered them our facilities free of charge for them to come and have an in-person town hall.
I will make such a suggestion next week.
All right,
when
so that was school district board member Robert Casey, who's doing it. First of all, he's on the Board of Education for the city of Scranton, and he doesn't know that John Fetterman is a senator, not a congressman. He thinks McCormick is a senator. And again, the whole let's offer our facilities free of charge so they could do a town hall thing. I would love to see the Scranton School District think that went through. Are they going to pay security? Are they going to have staff there? Who's going to staff the facility while they have this town hall? I'm assuming a lot of people are going to show up for the town hall. So there's a lot more than just, hey, here's our facility. And is it going to be common practice for the school district of Scranton to open up their facility for political events? Across the board, for anybody. I realize that during a rally across the street when Trump was running for office, they locked down their parking facilities and had their security at the entrance to the Scranton High School blocking the entire area off. And they dismissed school and the teachers union demand, told everybody, I suggest you go home because we don't know what might happen with all those Trump people here. But the sad part of this is here's a member of the Scranton Board of Education, doesn't even know who our elected officials are, doesn't know their proper titles. And if I'm not mistaken, he was one of the three names that were thrown in the hat for Lackawanna County Commissioner, the vacant seat that is there. So, keep making us proud. It's 5:44 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. That's right. We lost Val Kilner. And listen, at least one of my favorite roles that he portrayed was Iceman from Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick. Doc Holliday was great. The movie Heat, where he's the gang of bang, that was one of the best bank robbery scenes I've ever seen. And there's a whole bunch of them. You know, he played Jim Morrison from The Doors, and you can go on and on. But you know, for me personally, I mean, I watch Doc Holliday. I watch all the time. Tombstone. Anytime it's on, that's one of the movies you have to stop and watch. You know, it's like Roadhouse, you know, the best movie ever made. But Top Gun, definitely. So, that was sent to me from someplace far away that he passed, and took me a little bit to catch on, but a sad loss. And he was with it till the end. So, and it was good that he had that Top Gun Maverick, the Top Gun 2 scene with Tom Hanks. It was very fitting given the loss today. So, we'll have that there. So, Josh Shapiro, and it's funny because he was on this very station not too long ago, never brought this up. He's proposing a $20 million cut to bird flu aid for farmers could leave PA unprepared for a surge, GOP lawmakers fear. The Shapiro administration is proposing a $25 million cut to a state bird flu recovery program, arguing that its $61.5 million reserve is enough to aid Pennsylvania farmers affected by the aggressive virus. So I guess he feels everything's okay. The egg prices have come down. They've been down about 50% since January 1st. So the governor is slashing $25 million cut to a state bird flu recovery program. I guess it's not a problem anymore, right? The reduction, part of Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro's $51.4 billion budget pitch, targets the Department of Agriculture's special grant program, which has reimbursed farmers for losses caused by high pathogenic avian influenza and funded biosecurity measures to quell cases. It's funny, they're not running commercials on this station during the breaks that Governor Josh Shapiro is slashing payments to the Department of Agriculture. He doesn't care about your eggs. He doesn't care about healthy chickens. He doesn't care about supporting the farmers of Pennsylvania. But he came on this station not too long ago to talk about how the federal government was slashing a fund to farmers during the COVID era that they wanted to extend – That was a major crisis. But here, he can, at the same very time, can cut $25 million from our Department of Agriculture that's supporting our farmers. You can't make this up. The program created under the Wolf administration has received $75 million from lawmakers over the past 3 years. So far, $13.5 million has gone to 211 applicants. In 2025, bird flu has been detected in commercial farms in Cumberland, Dolphin, Franklin, Lancaster, Lebanon, and Lehigh counties. Over the past month, more than 20,000 birds have been affected by the virus in Pennsylvania, according to the most recent federal data. Pennsylvania current avian influenza outbreak began in 2022 and has cost taxpayers more than $9.8 million for salaries, overtime, travel, equipment, and other expenses, according to records from the State Department of Agriculture. Federal reimbursement totaled $4.6 million between April 2022 and April 2024. By March 2023, Pennsylvania reported the most cases among all commercial birds and backyard flocks nationwide. But those numbers went down in August, still the state prioritizing spending, such as $6 million in aid to Fourth Lab to Pennsylvania's animal diagnostic system last year's budget. In February, Pennsylvania eliminated a citizenship requirement for certified poultry farmers, which are professionals who can test birds for disease on farms. Legislators said advocacy for poultry farmers and the Agriculture Department made the law possible and hope that letting more people test helps curb the spread. But state lawmakers are not happy with this cut. Though insistent the $61.5 million reserve is enough, Shapiro has asked lawmakers for flexibility if additional dollars are necessary to meet future bird flu needs. So he's cutting the program $25 million, but saying, if in case we do need it, you guys have to be ready to give me the money. But I'm going to use it somewhere else right now in this budget. Despite confidence from the Shapiro administration, GOP lawmakers are skeptical. State Representative Ann Flood of Northampton said during February budget hearing that she was stunned at the willful redirection of avian influenza funds, especially as Pennsylvania saw an uptick in positive cases. State Senator Scott Martin of Lancaster questioned how the administration's budget reallocated of bird flu recovery dollars reflects the commitment to supporting the agricultural sector amid the outbreak during the department's Senate hearing on spending plan. Something's just not adding up with how we're looking at this and we're seeing it on the ground, said Martin, who co-chairs the State Senate Appropriations Committee. While avian influenza is the most pressing concern for the agricultural sector, helping farmers grow and feed people are also a top priority. Ultimately, we're in the food business, he told state lawmakers, and the governor is taking away our priority to defend that. Again, remember just this station, another show, or last week, the governor called and was chastising, saying he's going to sue the Trump administration because they're ending a COVID-era program that was allowing school districts and food pantries to buy directly from 200, or just about 200 farms here in Pennsylvania. Now, again, it was a COVID-era program that was supposed to end. The Biden administration, after he lost the election, extended it for 2 years. Trump administration came in and said, no, this is a COVID-era program. We're not extending it, and stopped it. So the government went on a tour. The governor went on a tour to shows like some of that are here to say Trump administration's bad. Look what he's doing. He's not looking out for our farmer. He's trying to hurt the poor people who need food, our food banks and our schools. I spoke to one of those farmers. One of those farmers said that if I wasn't selling my stuff to one of those programs, I'd be selling it to the private industry. But because it's a federal program, I was getting a higher rate than I would get normally from the private sector because it's tax dollars, it's monopoly money. But they're not losing. And it was a COVID era program. But here, on the other hand, the sleight of hand, the three card Monty, he's cutting our own chicken farmers and preparedness for the bird influenza here. And are by the same farmers. You can't make it up. 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, that's it for us today on this Wednesday, April 2nd. A lot to unpack today, but listen, really, truly, don't panic with these talk on tariffs. Again, we already went through this on a more limited scale, but we weathered it, and actually we're pretty successful with it. Give it time. Yes, the markets are going to panic. Yes, you're going to hear the other side make this political because that's what they do. It's all they have. So this is going to be the focus. Nothing changed. Nothing will change. That's it. Be safe. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.